Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Pella Regional Health Center has one of Iowa's great nurses. Let's go in-depth with Diane McCombs with the surgery department at Pella Regional Health Center. Well, Diane, you're just straight out of surgery and come for an interview. You're a multitasker, right?
Kind of one of those jack-of-all-trades, master of none.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. You must be somebody that's very good at a lot of things.
Well, I love surgery. There's a lot of different facets with surgery. Not only do you get to take care of the patient preoperatively, we get to take care of the patient surgically and then postoperatively. So it's a neat way of getting to take care of the patient, seeing them through a situation where they're fearful, where they're painful, and being able to help them to have a positive outcome.
And so do those take three different skills then?
Here at our hospital, we are trained to work in our outpatient area, which is the area that the patient comes in and we prepare them for surgery, starting their IV, talking to them about what to expect. Then we have the actual circulating nurse or scrub nurse in the OR, and we have a different function. Basically, we're their patient advocate. We take the patient to surgery. We're there for them. And what we do is try to keep them safe, and we assist our anesthesia, and we assist the surgeon and the other people in the personnel, and we're all there for the patient. And so we try to let the patient know that they're in good hands and that our job is to take care of them and to keep them safe. Then once we're done with surgery, then there's another division, PACU, where the patient wakes up, and there's different training for PACU. And we're just with the patient as anesthesia wears off and make sure that they're comfortable and that if they have problems with nausea and with pain and again, any fears, that we're there to help take care of them.
Well, that's a tough task.
It's a rewarding task. It's good to be with a patient and know that you're taking care of them in their time of need. And it's a very satisfying and rewarding job.
So you don't have a very long time to build levels of trust?
No. Usually, if you're the nurse that is in the operating room with your patient, you have about a 5 to 10 minute span that you're going in and introducing yourself and getting to know that patient and building that trust. Because if you think about it, that patient is entrusting their life to you, and they're getting to know you in a short time, and then off we go. And it's pretty amazing that you can build that kind of rapport with your patients.
So act like I'm a patient. It's our first interaction. What are you going to say to me? I'm laying there ready to go in for something. What do you say to me?
Well, I'm going to come in, and first of all, I want to make sure I have the right patient and that we're going to do the right procedure for you. And I know sometimes people get annoyed with that, and they're saying, how many times do you have to ask who I am and what we're doing? But we want to make sure we're doing the correct procedure, that we're going to keep you safe and do what you we're going to take care of what you came in here for us to take care of. So then we're just going to talk about different questions that we have to ask before we go to surgery. When's the last time that you ate? Do you have any metal plates? It's just different history about you that is very pertinent to our taking care of you in the OR. Then the last thing I want to make sure after I ask the required questions is, do you have questions or concerns, fears? Because I feel that if you have those addressed, that your outcome on surgery is going to be a lot better. If we can take that fear, and I want to make sure that you feel good about what we're about to do and that you understand what you need to know.
Okay, so there's the questions, there's the information, but then there's other things that you have to do if you're going to make it work. It's how you ask the questions, right?
Correct.
It's how you look at the person. If you're looking away from me asking me this stuff, it's not going to work, is it?
No, it isn't. You have to build that genuine trust. You have to let people know that you genuinely care about them, that you are there for them. And I think that comes with good eye contact. Maybe it's a touch on the arm. And you interact with different patients in different ways. But I think at the end, you still have to build that same trust level. And you can tell when a patient has that trust in you. You can tell that, yeah, they're starting to feel comfortable.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Diane McCombs with the surgery department at Pella Regional.
And so you just keep working until you get a level of comfort?
Yes.
Will you spend some time?
You spend the amount of time that you need to spend. That's something you can't rush.
And so if you're not ready, if you don't have that level of trust, you're going to just say, hey, team, just hold off, doctor. We're not going to do this yet?
We haven't had to do that a lot, but we just make sure that everything that they have concerns or questions about are addressed.
Okay. Because you can be really scared going into an operation.
And I think we feel that we want to take care of the patient the way we would want to be taken care of if we were in that situation. And that helps a great lot to know how to take care of the patient and what they might be fearful of or what we can do for them. And if I can't answer their questions, then we bring in the surgeon or we bring in anesthesia. We help them or we talk with the family. So between all of us, we can pretty much get the patient prepared to go back to surgery.
Some of it's almost like going back to when the patient, no matter how old they are, is like when they were a child, isn't it?
Yes.
You have to sort of get that kind of parental role going.
Yes. No matter how old you are, there's always some stress. There's always fear. There's anxiety. You know, with your child and separating that child from a parent, those parents have just as much fear and anxiety as their child does going back. So that's another thing we have to deal with is the parents, and it's the family, that you want to also be comfortable with what we're doing for their loved one.
And caring about the children.
Yes.
I mean, that must be tough when the children come.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want to take care of them as your own grandchild would be taken care of. And I relate grandchildren because I have grandchildren. And so there's a lot of us that we love the children. And when we take them back to OR, we are holding them until they go to sleep. That's the way some of our anesthesia will hold them and put them to sleep. And just so that they're more relaxed and that we know that they're taken care of the way that what parents would want them to be taken care of.
And then coming out of the anesthesia, is it as important to show people? I mean, you know they're out of there. You know they've made it. Mm-hmm. Is this a time to rush and get through it? You know they're going to be fine, or do you spend extra time there too?
Everybody wakes up differently, and we have several parameters that we're checking as the patient wakes up to make sure that they're waking up correctly and that their system is coming out of the anesthesia the way it should. That's one of the neatest things is to go back out to tell the family your loved one's done, and you can proceed now to the other room that the surgeon will come out and talk to you. So that's always a huge relief for the family to hear that the surgery's done, or during our longer cases, what we try to do is keep the family, you know, just on top of what's going on in the surgery room, because we understand that's a long time to wait out in a recovery area, or I shouldn't say recovery area, but a waiting area for the family. That's hard for the family to know that their loved one's in surgery and not being able to see or know what's going on. So we try to go out and give that family just updates to know that their loved one is being taken care of and that they're doing fine.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Diane McCombs with the surgery department at Pella Regional.
How many surgeries are you involved with every day on average?
You know, it depends. We have some surgeries that may last 3 or 4 hours, and then we have some surgeries that may last 1/2 hour to 45 minutes. So it just kind of depends on what surgery we're doing on what day. I deal with robotics, and a lot of our surgeries are at least 2 to 3 hours, and we can have some that will last up to 6 hours.
Well, that must be exhausting.
It is, but it's interesting. You never lose interest in cases like that. We're able to watch everything that the surgeon does on our monitors. So it's not like we're just sitting in a room. We're actually getting to see the whole procedure.
Now, let's just say a serious operation is over. You walk out, and you're going to see the family. What are you looking for? What do you feel when those doors open and you see the family standing there?
Lots of times the first thing I want to say is the surgery's over, they're doing great, and it's just that relief that the patient's family has. They're very thankful for the care that you've given their loved ones.
And do you stare at their face to see what their reaction is?
I look in their eyes.
You look in their eyes?
Yeah.
And you've done thousands of these, I presume.
You do, yes. Yes, over the course of a several years, yes.
And so it doesn't become old?
It is not old, no.
Looking in those eyes, it's
no.
like the first time?
Absolutely not, no. It's like seeing a child born. You can see thousands of deliveries, but each child that is born is special. You still have tears that come to your eyes.
Every time.
Every time. And it's not like that with a family. You never get tired of seeing those eyes that are just relieved and just so thankful that you were there to take care of their family.
And so you walk out just with this remarkable gift.
It is. Yes. Yes.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. It's very rewarding.
Well, I can't imagine it has to be so, so rewarding. These gifts, you give, you know, maybe four or five of these gifts a day. Even in the things that aren't that serious, you've helped somebody to overcome some.
Right. But even if a surgery may be considered minor or major, there still can be complication and risk. And so you have to take each one of those, and no matter what they are, you have to take the same consideration in taking care of that patient, you know, the best outcome. So even something that seems like it's so minor, things can happen. But that's, we are there. We look for things. We're always anticipating what could happen and to keep those things from happening.
What if there's a bad outcome? How's it walking out into that room then?
I've not had to be involved with it. Honestly, we haven't had a lot about bad outcomes. I haven't had to be a part of that process. But to know what we feel in the OR room, or whether you're in recovery room or outpatient, it weighs heavy on us. It can take a toll on you because you become involved with that patient and you're expecting to do the best for them that you can do. And if the outcome isn't what we would hope for or wish for, that can be devastating for us.
Well, that's not always under your control.
No.
And still devastating.
It can be very devastating.
So you take that home that night.
Yes. I think what you can do is you talk with your other colleagues that are experiencing the situation, and that helps.
But somehow some part of you has to sort of compartmentalize it, and you have to protect your own emotions,
right,
too, for both the highs and the lows. Is that hard?
It can be. I know people, I work in surgery, and they say, how can you do that? How can you operate on somebody and make incisions and do what you do? And I said, you know, you have to remember that that patient has come to you for help. They need your expertise in what's going on with them. And you have to forget that maybe it's Mary Jane under that cover. You're there to do your job, and you concentrate on the job that's to be taken. Now, once the drapes come off, now we have more of a personalization. But you have to remove yourself from that person when you're actually doing the procedure.
Because otherwise your effort might be compromised.
It could be, yes.
You can't overthink it.
Correct.
Or over-emotion.
Right. You just need to do the task before you and do it well and keep focused on what you're doing.
And that's where the training comes in.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, when you were a little girl, were you one of the little girls that picked up the broken birds?
Yes. Yes. I lived on a dairy farm, and so I've got to see a lot of different things. You know, being on the farm, you have a lot of times that the animals, you know, require care. So it was a good learning. It was a good starting point.
So you must come from a family with considerable compassion and concern for people around you.
I would say so, yes. Yes.
All right, and have you transferred that to your family? Is it something you learn or something you were born with?
I think it's a combination. I think you are born with a lot of it, but I think you have different influences in your life that help shape how you care and you take care of people and how you appreciate the values of life.
Any advice for young people thinking of entering the nursing profession, might want to take, you know, a position like yours in surgery?
It's very rewarding. There are days when it can be difficult, especially when you have patients that are given a diagnosis that isn't as positive. you know, that the outcome may not be as good, but to know that you can make a difference in their lives, that you can help them through those difficult times, that you would want those people to be there for you if you were to experience the same thing, can be very rewarding.
Worth all the study, all the...
Yes, definitely. Definitely training. Worth all the study. And even though there may be times and you're thinking, what am I doing? And it will be worth it.
And you're one of Iowa's great nurses. You were named this year one of Iowa's 100 great nurses. How does that feel?
It is an honor. And I appreciate the nominee. I appreciate the staff that selected that my nomination be turned in. What I struggle with is I feel that with that nomination, there should have been 100 other nurses that should have been nominated with me. I had the opportunity to work with many wonderful nurses that are so deserving of the same award. And I feel bad that those nurses are not recognized. They've had a large part in influencing and shaping my practice. And so I have to feel that in order to accept the honor, that I'm accepting it for all of them. So I'm very humbled and I'm very appreciative of the award. It's just hard for me to take it with only my name on my certificate, because there were so many involved.
Thanks to Diane McCombs for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.